The Mishnah is in the middle of listing the three forms of a Beis HaPras. The previous Mishnah talked about a field that contained a grave, and the grave was plowed over. There is a concern that the bones were scattered across the field, and that possibly there is still a bone or a broken bone that is at least the size of a corn of barley, and that is enough to make somebody who touches or moves it tomei. And because of that, the Beis HaPras, or any earth that comes from it, can make somebody tomei if they touch or move that earth. This Mishnah talks about the second form of a Beis HaPras, Sodesha Ovad Kever B'Soicha, a field in which a grave was lost. It's known that there is a grave there, but it's unknown where exactly in the field it's situated. Nizras Kol Zera, it's permitted to plant any produce there, such as wheat. There is no concern, even if somebody does come to uproot the earth that's underneath the wheat, together with the wheat. Since the whole concern over here is of a full dead body that was buried there, as opposed to the bones being scattered across the whole field, so even by uprooting the part of the earth right underneath the produce, it is extremely unlikely that that would reach the dead body itself, which is usually buried lower down. On the other hand, says the Mishnah, the Einon Intas Kol Neta, not every kind of tree is allowed to be planted there. And not only that, but if there are trees already planted there, the Ein Mekayim Ba'ilonos, it is forbidden to keep those trees there, and they would need to be uprooted. This is in order to prevent people from entering into the field, if it's possible to eat the fruit of that field, that will cause people to come in. And since the impurity of this field is on a higher level than the first form of Beis HaPras, over here there's a concern for an entire dead body that can transfer its impurity even via Tumas Oihel. And because of that, we want to avoid people from coming into the field. Apart from that, it could be that we're concerned that people who sit underneath the branches of the tree would become tomei from the dead body. If the dead body is situated directly underneath there, then there is a concern that they'll become tomei via the branches of the tree forming an oihel. That's an additional reason, but the main understanding over here is that because there is a more severe level of impurity, midrabanan, they were more stringent and wanted to avoid people from coming in. Chutz me'ilan sirak she'enoy sepeiros, with the exception of a tree that does not bear fruit, and therefore even if it is there, it won't cause lots of people to enter. People don't have so much to gain from a tree that doesn't grow fruit, and therefore it's permitted to plant such a tree in there. Some understand that it's only permitted to keep that tree there, but it's forbidden to even plant such a tree in the field. And the Mishnah ends off, from a Tami B'Mago of a Maso of Oihel, the tumor of this field would be transferred via touching the soil, or carrying or moving it, and even via Tumas Oihel. So even if somebody enters there on horseback, and he doesn't cause the soil to move in any way, he would still become Tomei from the very fact that he is above the ground of this Beis HaPras. And there is a concern that possibly he's above the part of the field that contains the grave. Mishnah Dalet, the third form of a Beis HaPras is unlike the first two, and really it's pretty much unrelated to the laws and concerns of impurity. Stei Boichin, which literally means a field of crying. The custom was that on the way to a funeral, when they would actually bury the dead body, they would first carry the dead body through a field, which was nearby the grave, the cemetery, and they would set the dead body down, and they would eulogize the dead body over there. After that, they would take the dead body to the actual cemetery to be buried. Now, if it became a custom to do this in a particular field that belonged to an individual, if it became the custom to do so, then the power of the public, the fact that lots of people and members of the wider public and community have taken hold of this field and it's become the custom to use the field, the individual owner of the field no longer has the power and the right to stop them doing so. So much so that lo nitas lo nizras, he's not even allowed to plant trees or other produce in that field, because until now it's been an open area which is fit for fulfilling this custom, and the public have the right to continue to do so. So much so that the individual is not allowed to plant things that would prevent them from doing so. So in that sense, it's similar to the previous two forms of a Beis HaPras, in that those are also fields that are not allowed to be either planted with produce or trees. But since really the concern over here has nothing to do with impurity, none of the dead body is going to be left over there. That for a tohar, the earth of that field is totally pure, so much so that one would be able to use the clay that comes from that field the earth in order to make an oven to cook the meat of korbanos, even though the level of purity that is required for korbanos is more than most items and most food. There is no concern over here at all for impurity. It's a totally different kind of a beis hapras. The remaining part of this Mishnah goes back to talk about the first form of a beis hapras, when a grave is in the field and the grave was plowed over. There's a concern that the bones were scattered across the field, and the Mishnah is going to show that there is a way to check and examine whether indeed there are bones that have been scattered across the field. However, this examination is certainly not absolute. It's very difficult to know and check fully, and because of that, it is not a solution for the beis hapras. The next Mishnah will offer a method to put an end to this decree midrabbanon with regards to this field, and one is not just able to examine and check for the bones and then assume that there are no bones there. However, there are certain cases in which we are able to rely on an examination. Umoidim Beshamay Beis Hillel, Beshamay and Beis Hillel agree Shebodkin Lo'isa Pesach, that we are able to examine and rely on the examination and the search for the scattered bones on behalf of somebody who needs to bring a Korban Pesach. Every single person is obligated to bring and be part of a group who brings a Korban Pesach, the sacrifice that is brought on the day before Pesach, the afternoon before Pesach, and anybody who fails to do so, unless it was out of their control, is liable to the severe punishment of Kores, where they are, so to speak, cut off on a certain level from Hashem. And the law is that somebody who is Tomei is not able to bring a Korban Pesach. So what happens if somebody walked into a Beis HaPras, and midrabbanon there is a concern that he became Tomei? Meanwhile, it's Pesach in another day, and he needs to bring a Korban Pesach. The Mishnah says that in such a case we are able to conduct a search, as will be described by the end of this Mishnah, and we can rely on that search. If we don't find any bones that are at least the size of a corn of barley, then he can assume that he is indeed pure, and he would be able to bring a Korban Pesach. On the other hand, they both agree that v'ein bodkin l'truma, a kohen who wants to eat truma, which is the food that only a kohen is allowed to eat, but he's only allowed to eat it in a state of purity. If he walked into a beis hapras and now he wants to eat truma, although he fulfills a mitzvah by eating truma, there's no obligation to eat truma, and therefore he's not able to rely on a search in order to allow him to eat truma. He would rather need to go through the entire 7-day purification process, just like anybody who became Tomei from a dead body or from a beis hapras that is a concern that he became Tomei from a dead body. The argument of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is with regards to Ula Nozir, a Nozir. This is somebody who has accepted upon himself a vow to become a Nozir, and he is forbidden in 3 things. One of which is that he is not able to become Tomei from a dead body. And if he does become Tomei from a dead body, then he needs to begin his period of Nazirus again. The standard period of Nazirus is for 30 days, and he would need to begin that again and also bring certain sacrifices if indeed he became Tomei. So if a Nozir walked into a Beis HaPras, Beis Shammai and Beis Shammai say, Boidkin, we are able to conduct a search, and if we find that there are no bones there, we can rely on that in order to presume the Nozir as being pure, and he would not need to begin his Nazirus period from the beginning. We still say, Ein Boidkin, we are not able to conduct a search and rely on that. And indeed, the Nozir would be obligated to begin his period of Nazirus from the beginning. According to the version of the Mishnah that we just read, it appears that Beis Hillel is being more lenient, more strict than Beis Shammai, which is very unusual, and some switch the version of the Mishnah. Then indeed it is Beis Shammai who hold that we cannot rely on a search. Asks the Mishnah, Ketzad Ubeidek, how should he conduct this search? Meviyeser Ofar Shuyochel Asitoi. He needs to collect all of the soil and the earth, which is at the top, that is soft and it's able to be moved. The way that the person would become Tomei is by touching the soil or moving it. So any part of the soil that is soft and is possibly moved when somebody steps on it, he needs to collect all of that earth, and place it all into a sieve that has very fine holes, and crush, break up the pieces of earth that are in clumps in order that they'll be able to see if there is a bone hidden inside of there. If in all of that earth they find a bone that is at least the size of a corn of barley, then Tomei, the person who passed through that Beis HaPras, would become Tomei. If not, then he would be able to rely on it in the cases that the Mishnah stated that one is able to rely on such a search. Mishnah Hey, Ketzad Metaharin Beis HaPras, how is one able to purify a Beis HaPras and to put an end to the application of this decree Midrabanon that states that the entire field is considered to be impure? Noikrim Menu Shloish Tefachim, one needs to remove the top three Tefachim of the earth. Oy Noisna Gabal Shloish Tefachim, or alternatively he's able to add another three Tefachim of earth on top of the earth that already exists. This is how deep the plow digs into the ground, so there is no concern that there are any bones beneath three tefachim from the ground level. And likewise, if one places earth on top of it, then even when he continues plowing in the future, he's not going to reach the bones which could possibly be scattered underneath there. Adds the Mishnah, if he removed three tefachim of the depth of the earth from one half of the field, and with the other half of the field, he added three tefachim of earth, tohar, that is also a way of purifying the field. And the Mishnah is showing that we are not concerned that part of the earth that is now on a higher level than the rest of the field is going to crumble and fall downwards towards the area that has less earth, which is very possible because it's not totally flat. The Mishnah is showing that since at this point he has managed to have the entire field either removed with three tefachim or with three tefachim of earth added on top of it, the field becomes pure, and even if later on some of the earth will fall down, it will not become tomei again. Rabbi Shimon says, "Afinu notal menu tevach u'mechza." Even if he removes only a tefach and a half of the earth, v'nosan alav tevach u'mechza b'makom acher, which we are going to understand to mean that he placed other earth, which came from a tohar, a pure field, he replaced the earth that he took away with that new earth. So although he didn't remove enough of the earth in order to ensure that there are no longer any scattered bones there, nevertheless, since he added other earth to that area, that has the effect to nullify and take away the status of a Beis HaPras from this field. Continues the Mishnah, HaRoitzef Beis HaPras Ba'avonim She'en Ochel Asiton. If somebody paves the field, which is a Beis HaPras, where a grave was plowed in the field, he paves that entire field with stones that he is not able to move. They are set into place strongly, such that when somebody walks on the stones, they don't move at all like regular proper pavement. Tahar, the entire field now becomes pure, because the entire reason why somebody would become Tomei in general when he goes into such a Beis HaPras is because he causes the soil to move, or he might possibly touch the small piece of bone, but in this case that the stones stay in the exact same position, he's not causing any of the earth to move, and therefore the status of a Beis HaPras would be removed from the field. Rabbi Shimon says, even in the opposite case, even somebody who digs up and removes stones which were in a field, if he did so to the entire field, then tohar, the field would become pure, because we are pretty sure that he would have found any bones during this process of clearing the field of stones. Somebody who walks through a Beis HaPras, a field in which a grave had been plowed over, but all he stepped on was on top of stones that he was not able to move. Very similar to the previous Mishnah's case. However, in the previous Mishnah's case, the entire field had been paved with these stones, such that the whole field lost its status of a Beis HaPras. In this case, most of the field is not paved, and therefore it's still considered to be a Beis HaPras field, but the area on which this person tread was paved firmly, which means that he didn't move any of the soil, so he's not going to become Tomei. Al Ha'odom v'al Ha'behemo Shekoichan Yofeh, or if he was carried by a person or an animal who is strong. And more specifically, that means that the person's legs don't shake when he's holding him, and the animal doesn't excuse itself when it's holding him. That's a sign that the animal or person is strong. And in such a case, we do not consider the person to be the cause of the movement of the earth underneath him. The animal or person who's carrying him is causing the soil underneath him to move. But the person who is on top of the animal or on top of the other person is not causing the earth to move directly, and therefore tohar, he would remain pure. On the other hand, if he treads on top of stones that he is able to move, which means that the earth underneath it moves with the stone, or if he is carried by a person or an animal who is weak, in order for the person or animal to maintain their balance, they would dig their feet more firmly into the ground, which means that the person who is being carried really is the cause of the earth underneath moving to a greater degree, and therefore Tomei, he would become Tomei in that case. The remainder of this perek, this chapter, talks about other rabbinic laws with regards to Tumah, apart from the laws of a Beis HaPras. Hamahalich Eretz Ha'amim, one who walks in a land of the nations outside of Eretz Yisrael, Midrabanon, all of the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael are considered to be Tomei. That applies to both somebody who enters into the airspace outside of Eretz Yisrael, as well as somebody who touches the earth that came from there. And one main reason given for this is because of the concern that a dead body was buried and not marked. The non-Jews would often bury their dead bodies not in cemeteries, and wherever one goes, one is not able to be sure that he has not become Tomei from being above a dead body. And this Mishnah shows that even Behorim of Asloim, if he only travels on the mountains and the rocks where it's impossible to bury somebody, even then Tomei would become Tomei, because there is a concern that the earth or soil from a different area has been blown to there, and that would make him Tomei. By Yom of Ashunis, if he only travels in the sea or on the seashore, then Tohar, he is pure, because there's no concern that there are any remains of a dead body over there. And even if the wind did blow some earth from a different area to the seashore, it will be washed away by the sea, Ve'eze Yashonis, and the Mishnah defines what exactly is included in the seashore that we can be certain that it would be washed away, even if earth was blown there. Kol Mokim Shayom Ole B'Zapai, anywhere that the water of the sea reaches when a stormy tide comes in. Even if some earth which came from an area where there was a body buried was blown there, it would no longer remain there because of the sea and the water washing it away.